This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town. SME feature.
Well, is South Africa's venture capital scene set for a bull run over the next 5 years? It certainly seems to be the sexy asset class at the moment, the likes of Knife Capital in particular making headlines for big-ticket investments. Havaik, which is a Cape Town-based venture capital investment firm, is betting on an exciting next 3 to 5 years for VC in the country after deploying 40 million rand in 5 investments and 1 follow-on investment in 2019. And I'm joined now by managing partner at Havaik, Ian Lesser. Evening, Ian. What a time to be a VC in South Africa, it seems. Firstly, Havaik. Very interesting name, that. Where does that come from?
Hi, good evening. You started with one of the trickier questions. So I come from a family of 4 brothers. I'm the youngest, and the 2 oldest are very successful entrepreneurs, and the 2nd youngest, who is by way of the smartest but super academic, always tells me that I never listened to him. And when we were younger, he was obsessed with Dr. Alban. If you remember, he had that track, Dr. Alban used to sing, Hello Africa, tell me how you doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought, let's call our business Hello Africa Ventures, which is the HAV, and that way he can never complain that I never listened to him. So the rest is Hello Africa Ventures, advising, investing, and raising capital. Two birds with one stone. It's a nice story. And my youngest older brother, I suppose, the monkeys off my back for the rest of my life.
And a great icebreaker for when you introduce yourself to, as you say, to new investors or investees. A great story. And very much the VC market at the moment is a good story to tell. You founded the business back in 2015 together with Grant Rock and Rob Health and Jonty Levine, very well-known individuals that in either corporate finance or entrepreneurship. You've got an investment banking background. What led you into a very seemingly high-risk field such as venture capital? We know early-stage seed-type investment is sorely needed in the country, but it is high-risk. Very often, out of, say, 10 investments you make as a VC, 8 might fail, and you're looking for the 1 or 2 that really you can hit out the park and you're making 10 times money on. What led you into that space?
When I was leaving the investment banking space, I did originally start focusing on what you'd call the more conventional private equity space. And not to take anything away from that, but I did find at the time, this is, 5, 6 years ago, it was very, very crowded, which means oversupply of capital, undersupply, or let's say under demand from potential companies to invest in, which effectively, if you draw a little graph, the sort of price point was in the favor of the, let's say, acquiring or selling or investing your company. The game of investing is just like property. You want to buy low, fix the property up, get in good tenants, and then hopefully sell to someone with much more money than you. So I found that the space was much too crowded, at least for my liking. And through that process, I started meeting with what you would call younger businesses, and I was absolutely blown away by the type of entrepreneurs, and particularly in the technology space, that I was meeting. These are not what you would call your typical, I finished university, I can't find a job, I'll try to start a business, and maybe that business is a spaza shop or a fish and chip shop.
Yeah.
Not to take anything away from that. These are, well-to-do people who may be serial entrepreneurs. They may be people who are South African or from other parts of Africa, worked internationally, come and brought their skills back here. Or there may be people like myself who were fortunate enough to have a very, successful corporate career and decided to apply those skills in their own businesses. I mean, if you don't mind, it's always, it's kind of a story we invest in these businesses. I like to give a couple of examples, if you don't mind.
No, absolutely, Ian. And I wanted to find out, your investment framework and criteria are, because if you're talking startups, fintechs, there are a lot of great businesses. There may be pre-revenue. Do you look for something that's post-revenue, at least showing some kind of growth, profitable? Are they in the early stages of the valley of death? What's your approach?
So we are an early-stage investor. We typically don't look at businesses that are pre-revenue. But our main requirement is that we have to believe that the business has the ability to scale and service international clients. So revenue is always a good indicator that who are your clients, why do they use you, who else will use you. But sometimes, through early pilots or just really good traction with a product, you can get that comfort and without revenue, although it becomes a little bit harder. So in the world of VC, you've got Angel, which is effectively your friends and family, and then third F they call fools, but I don't like to say that because maybe I'm the fool. then you've got seed capital, which is still more individual type investor. Angel seed capital, more early type investors, and then you fast forward a little bit, and you have what is known as Series A, which is the big American term for you've now hit the big VC, big leagues in the VC world. We come in post Angel, post seed, but much earlier than Series A. So we are an early stage investor. So I'll give you an example of the type of businesses that we invest in. So the challenge is I don't want to offend any of our portfolio companies. We've got 12 portfolio companies who are all doing really well. So hopefully if they're listening, I don't offend them too much.
But well, if they're all listening, we only have time to talk about one. You can blame it on me. Throw me under the bus.
I'll try give a nice example. So we invested in what is known as a safe tech business June 1 year ago. The business is called Aura. And why safe tech is quite an important theme in my world is you always want to back companies that you have a right, to be in. So safety as South Africans is something we all think about. We almost take our knowledge in the safety world for granted. If you go to, say, the more developed world, what we intuitively, because of necessity, look for on a daily basis, you simply don't have that sort of built in your wired into your DNA. So it kind of goes without saying that we should be really, really knowledgeable in the safety space. So without going into too much detail there, we invested in this business Aura, and quite remarkably, at the time, they effectively had just signed one multinational client. And what they do is they aggregate the nascent supply of on-the-spons vehicles, nationally, or private on-the-spons vehicles nationally. So what did I just say? They basically did exactly what Uber did. They said, look, there's all these taxis driving around. The adjacent to that is independent on-the-spons companies. Think about all the cars you see driving around, pretty much doing nothing. And they said, let's put them on a platform so we can see them and we can push them and channel them to where crime may actually be. Just like Uber did. They said, these cars are driving around endlessly. We can, through algorithms, work out where passengers are going to be. So you fast forward almost, let's call it 18 months later, we now have the biggest private security fleet probably in the Southern Hemisphere, certainly in South Africa. We don't own any cars. And what this aggregation has allowed us to do is we are able to direct, if you've got a personal on the response issue or response issue or crime issue or safety issue, you push your app on your phone or you shake your app or you say your safety word or you have an IoT smart device on your arm, whatever it may be, and the nearest on response car will come to your rescue, not the nearest response car from your local, wherever you contract with independently, the local one. So we've narrowed response times down from I think the South African average is 12 minutes to 3.5 minutes. But 3.5 minutes still isn't good enough. So what they've now done is, which is much smarter, they've done two things. As I said, they're using the data to start predicting where crime is going to happen and push the cars to where the crime is likely to happen. And through effectively a Google API, they also have worked out throttle points. So, if someone attacks me, I'm in my car, I'm randomly in the road, they start driving away with my car, they can, through GPS, they can work out, well, these are the exit points for that area, and they can effectively go and send on the response cars there to stop the crime.
And that,
so it's absolutely amazing.
That is a great example of taking South African innovation and applying a South African problem and solution mindset to bring it all together in a way that one can almost see this moving to a pay-for-service type model where you've got all of the security companies in your area perhaps competing. You don't pay them a monthly fee. you pay per service and per call out. So you then incentivizing those security companies to respond as quickly as they can. To get away just from the specific example, Ian, and back to the original question, you've invested quite a lot of money over the last 12 months. There does seem to be a great excitement around venture capital. What's your outlook for the sector and the asset class over the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, so absolutely. I mean, we very much are at the beginning of the wave. I mean, we see a massive adjacent between the technologies, and I can only really speak to technology investments because that's where we focus. And we see a massive adjacent between ourselves and Israel in terms of actually exporting our know-how, exporting our technology into the developed world. And that's really starting to happen. So you'll read on the press, quite a few South African companies in the tech space raising international finance. So out of our 12 companies, we've successfully moved 6 of them to the US, and that may be through physical offices, subsidiaries, moving IP. But pretty much all of our companies in some shape or form either have received foreign investment from what you call well-to-do foreign investors interested in what they're doing, or we service very large multinationals who effectively, you know, they bring dollars into our system. So it's a great story. We invest in rands, but ultimately we're earning dollars for the companies we invest in and potentially earning dollars for investors as well.
It really is. It really is a fantastic story, Ian. Unfortunately, that is the all the time we have for. To borrow from Dr. Alban as well, doing it your way. It's your life with Havaik, which is Hello Africa Ventures, a great story that in its own right. Ian Lesser, managing partner at Havaik.